Hello, and welcome to Community Forum. I'm Ellen Lockyer. Today, we'll be digging into the past, looking through some musty attics and old filing cabinets to find gems. My guests will tell you more about that. Both of them are calling in from Juneau, so this is something of a special Community Forum. We've never had two guests on the phone before. So let's say hello to Frances Field. She's a historian and archivist with the Archives Rescue Corps. Frances, you there?
Hello, Ellen. Thank you.
Hi. And Glenn Cook, and he's with the State Division of Museums, Archives, and Libraries. Hello, Glenn.
Hello.
So, first of all, what is the Archives Rescue Corps? I know it got started late last year. Would one of you like to explain how it got going?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Well, Archives Rescue Corps is under the Division of Museums, Libraries, and Archives here in the state of Alaska. And what it is the Institute of Museum and Library Services, which is a national organization funded by the federal government. They recognized that there was a need to start saving and preserving America's collections, be it archives or actual objects. They noticed that a lot of them were deteriorating and that people just didn't know how to take care of them. And not only just people in the general public, but museums as well. So what they did was they initiated these statewide planning grants, and they offered every single state in the U.S. up to $40,000 to come up with some sort of program to start saving their heritage. And so, of course, Alaska wanted to get in on this, and people here at the Alaska Museums of Libraries and Archives decided that the area that we really needed the most help with was saving our archives. We have a pretty good grasp of taking care of objects. We've got a lot of great museums in our state, but our archives were really not getting the attention that they deserved or needed. And this was really backed up by a survey conducted in 2006 by the Heritage Health Index, and they documented only 29 archives collections in the entire state of Alaska. And right away, red flags went off for us, and we said, okay, we know there's probably 1,000 archival collections in Alaska, not just 29. Mm-hmm. So we applied for this grant and pitched to them Archives Rescue Corps, which we call ARC. And the whole idea of it is to try to locate archives in the state of Alaska and help the people and organizations who hold these archives in taking care of them and learning how to preserve them.
That sounds like a pretty daunting task. First of all, what is all that scratching around going in the background? Is that somebody moving the mic or moving the phone?
I didn't know if it was on our end or someone else's. I don't know.
Okay. So it's not you, but that's fine. So how do you estimate that there's maybe 1,000 archives out there that your organization is unaware of right now? How do you get that estimate? I mean, it's in your literature, in the background literature. You think that maybe there's 1,000 of documents that are out there that you're looking to locate and enumerate, so to speak.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to tell at this point how many we're going to come across. For instance, a couple weeks ago, I was in Nome for about a week and just by chance happened to meet one of the judges in town up there. And when he heard what I did for a living, he asked me to come up and meet him in his office. He had some material he wanted us to look at, and so we went up and we were looking at, you know, to see what he had, and he had all of the vital records for the first, from the territorial days all the way back to 1898 when the first books were kept for Nome.
Wow.
Sitting in his office. And so had I not just stumbled upon him in a store in town, we wouldn't have known that they existed there.
That is amazing. I was just going to say, it's a pretty daunting task. You're talking statewide, and you say $40,000, but it sounds like a lot in one lump. But if you parcel it out to every little community out there, it comes out to about $56 each. And where do you even start? How are you going about this task?
Well, when we got the estimate of 1,000 archives, you know, we were thinking of all the different types of places that archives could be found. And you're talking about, you know, your obvious locations such as libraries and museums and archival holding institutions, which there are around the state. But you're also looking at private collections, fraternal organizations such as the Elks, Moose, Eagles. You're looking at nonprofit organizations, radio stations, even, you know, certain businesses in town that have been in Alaska that have been around for a long time. They all have archives. So what we had this idea that we were going to get help. That was the first thing, is that we were going to get this core of volunteers throughout the state to help us locate these archives within their own community. And that has worked, it has worked pretty well. You know, trying to get people to volunteer these days can be sometimes difficult, but it does help. You know, I can't call every single one of these places where I think they might be. So we have got a lot of volunteers around the state to make telephone calls in their communities to places where we feel might have archives, such as the churches and, you know, if there's people in town that they think they might have, you know, a good private collection. So that's how we've been finding most of them. And then just word of mouth. There's a lot of email listservs with different organizations on them, and we've been able to reach a lot of them that way.
Wow. And I just want to get something sort of straightened out. When you say archives, how does an archive differ from maybe a letter from Aunt Matilda that was written in 1936 or something? I mean, how did one determine, like, historical significance and just stuff?
Well, an archive, you know, it's going to be considered an archive by somebody, any letter or anything else like that. The main thing is there are, you know, for people that have things that have historical significance, whether it's documenting a business family in the state or documenting an event that happened, it can be a whole variety of things. Archives also covers a lot of formats. So it could be photographs, it could be papers, it could be journals, could be a whole variety of things. Could be oral history tapes or video footage. So it can be a whole variety of things that we're talking about. And
yeah, well, we hear it radio. Boy, you wouldn't believe the archives I've got of years. I never throw anything away. My husband is tearing his ever-thinning hair because I'm a pack rat, and I have box loads of stuff, and I think a lot of people out there do. And although I never think of it as historically significant, and, you know, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but it looks like your work is pretty much concentrating on locating churches or Native organizations, city offices, museums, that kind of thing, places that would already have a rather extensive accumulation of material. Am I correct in assessing that?
That is correct, but we are also looking at private organizations, and to me, or not only private organizations, but private individuals. To me, they're almost the ones that their collections are the most at risk, because it's just, you know, like my grandmother, for example, you know, she might have an archive collection. She might not even consider it an archive collection, but it might be very significant to the history of our state or the history of my family. And because she doesn't know it's significant, or she doesn't know how to take care of it, she might not be taking care of it. So it could just be stored in a cardboard box in a basement that might get water damage. And so those are the ones that are really the most at risk, and we're happy to help those ones. And, you know, by helping them, we hope that they also have a plan in place for what to do with those archives once they pass on. I've heard horror stories of, you know, these wonderful, wonderful collections of Alaskan history, and the individual may die, and then an aunt a niece or a nephew might come up from down south, they get to go through the house, they find this old box of dusty photographs and letters and journals, and, you know, it has no significance to them. And where does it end up? It ends up in the trash.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the last thing we want to see happen. And we want to make sure that these people have a plan for what to do with their archives.
Okay, so now you started, first things first, how are you locating the volunteers that will help you do this task?
Well, we have a lot of contacts already, and a lot of the times we call the local museum and said, do you have any active volunteers who might be willing to take this on? and do this. Or, and a lot of us, you know, Alaska, even though it's a large state, it's still a small state. So a lot of us had friends and communities, and we contacted people that way and just kind of got the word out. I contacted Chamber of Commerce's and city municipalities. And it's just, it's been a very word of mouth type thing.
Okay, let's take this moment to remind our listeners that Community Forum is a call-in show. And if you have a comment for our guests, Francis Field and Glenn Cook, and they are archivists and historians working to preserve Alaska's, archives, and they are with the Archive Rescue Corps. It's a new organization, state-backed, that will attempt to round up some of the valuable historical photos and archives that are some places moldering out there in old boxes. So if you'd like to comment or ask a question, call 550-8433, 550-8433 at KSKA here, or outside the Anchorage area, 1-888-353-5752, 353-5752, or email us, communityforum@kska.org. Once again, if you're seeking more information on today's show, just go to KSKA's website, kska.org. So let's get back to ARC, the Archive Rescue Corps, and Francis Field and Glenn Cook. So we're talking about rounding up maybe some volunteers who will complete a, how are you doing a survey? You mentioned a survey you're doing and getting returns on. Francis, can you explain that?
Sure. It's an online survey that's off our website, and it's very easy. It asks some basic questions about, you know, the organization and the address and contact info, everything like that. And then it goes through very easily. Oftentimes, when I call an organization, I'll ask them if they have an archive, and they say, nope. I say, well, do you have photographs or records or anything? Oh, yeah, well, we have that. And I say, well, then you have archives. And so we geared our survey towards people who might not know anything about archives. So all they have to do is there's a list of all sorts of different things, from photographs and negatives to motion picture film, manuscripts, maps, and all they have to do is click a little box right next to everything that they may have, and then they just have to hit submit, and it sends it right to me and puts it in my inbox, and then I contact them, and they're on our list. And when we do future training or when we have information to pass along to them, we do that. So it's very, very simple.
Okay, and are you getting a lot of cooperation?
Yes, we are. It's, you know, it was very slow at first, but as the word spreads, it's it definitely does get out there. One thing that people, the red flags go off right away when they find out we're from the state. Sometimes they think we're here to dig into their collection and take it from them, and that's the last thing we want to do, actually. We really want to see these collections stay within the entity that they're already, where they already are. And we want to ensure that they'll be able to utilize their collections. And in order for us to do that, though, we need to be able to help them to make sure that they're preserving them carefully. One of the examples I like to use are churches. Churches oftentimes, they don't have a lot of money to put towards preservation of their archives, but there's some very simple steps that we're willing to help with to tell people how to do that. And a lot of times the churches, either they notice that they're deteriorating, so they send them away, and oftentimes they send them down south. And unfortunately, when they do that, they lose access to them. They won't be able to go back and look at them very easily unless they actually go to that state where they're being housed. And they may or may not, usually they're being taken care of if it's a archival holding entity for that church, but you just never know. And but we really want to prevent that. We want to make sure that these organizations are able to keep their archives within their own entity.
Okay, we'll talk about privacy issues too, but I just got an email from Diane, and her question is, what are the details of the program, and what does the program offer once the collections are located? Where will the collection be archived? And I think you've explained that you're not going to take over, but maybe you could elaborate that on that a little bit, Francis. What kind of plan do you offer to help people preserve their archives?
Well, one of the things that we plan on doing is we're next week and the following week, we're actually doing some training in Juneau, Anchorage, and Fairbanks. And unfortunately, all of our classes are filled up right now except for Fairbanks. We do have a few spots left there. But we're going to be doing some preservation training on archives, and it's just some very basic things. Some are technical, but it will be heavily concentrated on photographs, so photographic preservation. So that's one thing we hope to do, is we hope to offer training. And something I should mention is that this is just the beginning. I told you that we got this grant for $40,000 from IMLS. Well, the thing I didn't get to say is that in the next coming year, they are going to be offering statewide implementation grants. And these grants can be up to $500,000. And it's to basically say, okay, we created this thing called ARC, and we're very proud of it, and it's very successful. And now we would like to apply for more money and take this to the next level, which would mean for us definitely more training, possibly sending out interns to different communities to try to help communities with their archives. So we have great plans for this. And not only with the training and hopefully sending out interns, we're also always going to be able to take telephone calls and offer advice and suggestions and provide educational materials.
So what help are you getting from, say, historical societies? That would seem to be a good place to start.
Probably for the most part right now is by having people representing some of the different ones around the state on the advisory group that we put together to help us look at what direction we should be going with this and how we can best help the people in the state of Alaska.
Right. And I would assume that you said your classes, your volunteer training classes are full. So obviously the word is getting out there. I guess I wanted to get into what types of organizations you deal with. You mentioned certain entities, and you mentioned Native organizations too. And are you getting a lot of cooperation from some of these libraries or and museums, Native organizations, or is there a sort of a jealousy? Maybe I don't know. I don't mean to be negative, but you know how it is. You know, like,
yeah,
oh, this is our stuff, and we don't want the other museum to get it. Do you encounter that at all?
You know, we do just a little bit, and until we explain to them what we're about. You know, like I said, the biggest fear is they're worried we're going to take their collection away from them. And once we tell people, no, that's the last thing we want to do. That is nothing in our plans. They tend to understand it a bit more. And you know, it's hard because a lot of these places that do have archives, they're so busy, and the archives the last thing they think about. And so if there's any lack of cooperation, it's because everyone's too busy trying to just do everything else that they're not thinking about their archives, which is, you know, I feel unfortunate because I think it should be a priority of theirs because that's their history. That's what they're about. But it's been well received. We've received over 100 surveys so far, and I think that's a really great start.
So 100 people have responded, or 100 organizations have responded mm-hmm. to your request. That's wonderful. I know archiving is quite tedious and time consuming, and everybody says it's the kind of thing that you go, well, I'll get to it when everything else is done, and everything else is never done, so you never really get to it. It's like taxes. You know, you wait till the last possible minute mm-hmm. and you collect all your stuff, but because you have to do it, but you don't have to archive. Once again, I'd like to remind our listeners that if you have a question or a comment for Glenn Cook and Francis Field with the Archive Rescue Corps, you can call KSKA here at 550-8433, or outside of Anchorage, 1-888-353-5752, 1-888-353-5752, or email us at communityforum@kska.org. So I wanted to get to maybe some private individuals. You're mentioning you're working pretty much with organizations, and some of these organizations go back quite a way. The Moose Lodges, the Elks Lodge. Mm-hmm. I know I take dancing lessons at one of the Moose Lodges in Anchorage, and it looks like they've got these photos on the wall going back to the beginning of time, I think. And you know, that's the kind of stuff you're interested in. How about a private person, say, you know, just a regular family that might have had long roots in Alaska? Would they be eligible to contact you?
Definitely. And that's a lot of the times where our local community volunteer comes in, because they might know where those collections are. They might know somebody in town who's an avid historian, you know, self-proclaimed historian, and so they might have a really good collection of photographs and journals, and so we're definitely into helping them. Those are the ones, like I had mentioned before, that I feel are the most at risk.
Now, would they have to be able to, like, identify every person in the photo that was taken back in 1935?
No.
Okay. Okay, and is there a criteria as to the, say, the condition of the archives? Like, is there rules or something that they have to be in good shape, or do you help people sort of reclaim damaged stuff?
Part of, you know, part of the whole process is identifying, and part of the survey is geared towards what condition the collections are in, because, you know, we anticipate, I know I personally have photos at home that are in need of some conservation or things. We anticipate that, you know, across the board with a lot of people. And the training we want to give is how best to take care of collections in the field of archives, conservation, preservation. You know, in the past, a lot of times it has been, you know, these are the best practices. This is how you should maintain your collection. Well, we understand that in a lot of the remote areas of Alaska, you don't have the optimum places to maintain your collections. So what are things you can do to cause the least amount of damage with very limited resources? And so we're looking at, you know, over time putting together some of these lists of ways to protect your collections when you don't have proper temperature and humidity controls for the rooms they're stored in, or those kind of things. So, you know, we want to look at how we can help people out at the very basic levels, not just the big repositories.
Mm-hmm. So look at, let's go to the phones. The call board's lighting up. Let's go to Charles, line 2. Charles, you there? He hung up. So let's go to line 5. Scott, are you there?
I am.
Ah, what's your question? What's your comment?
Well, I have what I believe is an archive. I don't know if you or your guests are familiar with Alaska Nelly.
No.
No. All right. Well, she was a pioneer Alaskan lady. She was actually the first woman to get a contract with the federal government on the Alaska Railroad. And my mother owned and operated a bed and breakfast on property that Nellie used to own. And she collected all sorts of stuff. Videos, audio tapes. She did interviews with people who knew Nellie. She's got photographs, newspaper articles, all these things. And she passed away a couple years ago and left all this to myself and my sisters. And this, I really feel this stuff needs to be in a museum. It needs to be taken care of and preserved. And I was wondering if your guests had any advice.
Definitely. Well, the first thing that I would love, I think it does, it's definitely an archive, and I think that it's great that you have taken care of it for this long and held on to it. And the first thing I would suggest is definitely getting on and taking our survey and getting registered with us. And there's a comment area, and if that's something that you and your siblings have decided that you don't feel that you can care for and you would like to donate it to an organization, we could make recommendations, and we're always willing to do that. And we usually start at your local level, or depending on the collection, what it's about, what museum or archive would be best suited for that. And then it would be up to that organization and you to decide if it would be a good transfer for a donation. So we're always willing to do that. And, I just suggest you get on and take our survey, and we'd be more than willing to help you out.
Well, great. That sounds like a good first step.
Yeah.
Anything else,
okay,
Scott?
No, that's it. Thank you very much.
Okay, well, thanks for bringing up Alaska Nelly. I never knew about Alaska Nelly.
Oh,
well,
do Google on it. Pages will come up.
Oh, Pages. Okay. We'll check that out. Yeah, the railroad would be a great place to find, I think, some long-forgotten gems. They've been around, what, since 1910 or something?
Mm-hmm.
How about, I was going to get along, talk to you a little bit about you mentioned a plan to help people preserve their archives. How does this coordinate with existing museums? I mean, this information you're gathering as to the location of different deposits of archives, is this going to be available like in a database, a statewide database or something? Are you, cooperating with existing museums on this archive project? For instance, if like you would maybe coordinate with the Cordova Museum on local archives that they may not be aware of or that kind of thing?
Yeah, we definitely are creating a database in relation to this project. And, one of the things that we want to do is work closely with the collection owners' wishes that if they don't mind having it made available, that we would make it available. But if they would prefer to learn more about how to preserve it, but they really don't want other people to know they have a collection or something, you know, to respect that as well. The long range, we would like to come out with as large of a compilation of the collections around the state and what the topical areas are for it. There's just to give an example, right now there are probably 40 collections around the state that deal with the Exxon Valdez oil spill, and trying to figure out who has what and where to send researchers doing work on stuff, is a big task. And I'm sure there's a lot of duplication between collections and things. But to develop an awareness of who has what kind of collections and where they are, and if it's a private collection, if it would be open to private research or not, you know, those kind of questions, so that we can help facilitate future research as well as preserving the collections.
Right. So some of this material that's out there might have interest beyond a museum exhibit, beyond a merely historical artifact. Like you mentioned, the Exxon Valdez oil spill, which is a pivotal event in Alaska, as was the 64 earthquake, and maybe even the flood, the recent floods that devastated mm-hmm. Eagle. I mean, we can only imagine what was lost.
Right.
Are you hearing from villages such as Eagle?
We do, actually. Mm-hmm. The museum here, the State Museum, has been working very actively with the museum in Eagle, trying to help them. And that's one of the things the Archives Rescue Corps is working on, too, is we'll be concentrating on this in our training, is disaster help and disaster prevention, and helping organizations and people write plans in case something were to happen. They know the steps that they need to follow.
Hmm. So you mentioned, Frances, that you're off to a good start with ARC, and you've gotten a lot of response. You have your volunteers lined up and in training. And what is the long-term scope of this project? I mean, 1 year, 2 years, 10 years? Or you mentioned you might want to go out for some more grant money to keep it going.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're definitely going to be applying for some more grant money. And if we were to get that grant money, I think it would be made available early next spring or early summer. And so we know we're going to be at least going until then. and we have high hopes that we should get some money, because this has been a very successful program that we've started here. And the Institute of Museum and Library Services is aware of what we've been doing, and we've heard good things from them. So we feel we're very pleased with that. And, you know, I would like to see this stay around for a very long time, for years to come. I think that, you know, we create our archives every single day. It's something that, you know, tomorrow, if the President of the United States was to come and I was to snap a picture with him, that would be considered a pretty good archive, I would think, you know. And, you know, if I had a collection of photographs, that'd be a great addition to it. And I really feel that we are going to be continuing to collect archives and we'll need to continue to preserve them. And so if we can offer resources, I think that's great. Just today I got a telephone call from a local business in Juneau, just out of the blue, who had heard about us. And he said, you know, he wasn't really interested in registering because he doesn't really consider he has an archives, but he was just looking for help because he just recently had a lot of water damage to a photograph collection that he had. And he wondered if I could just refer him to some conservators. And I'm more than willing to do that kind of thing, too. You know, it's a great opportunity for just to use this as a resource guide as well. And our website is great, too, for just, you know, the general household that has a collection. As Glenn mentioned, you know, you can put a lot of money into preserving your archives and protecting them. And we don't expect the general household to be able to do all the top-notch things because that gets quite expensive. But our website offers some very basic things that one person can do to take care of their collection. And so I really see us being around for a long time and acting as a resource guide and a aid in helping people preserve their archives.
All right. And you are, again, advised, listeners, to go to kska.org for all the information you may need on ARC website and the topics of today's conversation. We are going to take a one-minute break starting about now. You're listening to Community Forum.
Community Forum was recorded earlier and will not be accepting calls tonight.
Welcome back to Community Forum. I'm Ellen Lockyer. Today we're talking to Frances Field and Glenn Cook. They are historians and archivists working with the Archives Rescue Corps. And right before the break, we got an email from Wendy, and his question is, are you able to contact the Russian Orthodox churches in Alaska, and will they allow you to help preserve their old baptismal records from the 1800s, perhaps make them available in e-form for the public? Wow, that's a question and a half, huh?
Well, to answer your question, I have been in contact with some Russian Orthodox churches, and I believe out of all the Russian Orthodox churches that I've contacted in the state, only one has taken our survey, and it's been a hard one to crack into. So, and I've talked to many of them, and across the board, a lot of them, it does sound like they would really like help and could really utilize the help. I've heard some just tragic stories of amazing records being lost and destroyed due to elements, manuscripts brought over from Russia, actually, and just it's been kind of sad. But, you know, I would love to be able to do that, and that's something that we could help them with, but they need to get on board with us first and help make that contact. And once we do, if that's something they want to work towards, we'd be more than willing to help them with that.
Well, I know that every Russian Orthodox church I've ever been inside have had just fascinating things. You know, the icons, the photos on the wall. I mean, people that look like they just walked in from out of a pyramid or something, you know, with the long veil and the costume. And it's very exciting to people who maybe have a background in history or you know, have an eye for what is historically relevant, whereas we forget that sometimes some of these artifacts, some of these documents are so old, and they've been kicking around in the family, say, or in the church office since time immemorial, and people don't see them anymore. It's just, you know, they don't think of it as historical, as historically relevant. They think of it as just a bunch of old photos that have been sitting there since they can remember. How do you help? That's a question. How do you help people, like, determine what is a relevant archive? And I mean, a lot of people just, they may have it, but they may not know they have it. I mean, is there any way you can get to the general public with information?
You know, that's an interesting question. And the way that I try to approach it, if somebody asks me, you know, if there's any relevance to their collection, is to somebody there is. You know, to you there is today, to somebody else there may be tomorrow. And you need to keep that in mind. As times change, things that, you know, today we may think of as just, oh, that's just family records and it has no value. Well, you don't know 50 years from now what the kind of things your family was doing may have some historical value then. And so maintaining it does have a relevance. Also, Ellen, I'd like to say that even though we are hoping to be able to take this program for many years into the future, we're designing it in a way that at any time is not related only to grant funding, and that the through the web pages, through some, you know, potential other ways to do it. But we're trying to set this all up in a way that it will continue, and all of the information we gather will be available regardless of whether there's future funding or not. So it's for the people who are volunteering time now. We don't, you know, we want to make sure that they understand that the work they do isn't going to go away just because some grant money goes away or something else. But regard, you know, either way, we're going to make sure that this program continues.
Well, right, because time marches on and life continues, if you know what I mean. You know, it's funny you brought up the Exxon Valdez, because I lived in Cordova during the whole time of the oil spill. I was a reporter there. And no one ever thought, you know, people were just so slammed, and just getting through the day was just amazing. You know, it was just took all your energy. No one ever thought, was thinking ahead to, this is history. But looking back 20 years, wow, we had a piece of history. And I'm sure everybody in that community has a big piece of that tucked away somewhere in their personal records. And those kind of things happened, you know, pivotal events happened in different parts of the state, you know, the discovery of oil and Swanson River or the, you know, Prudhoe Bay. I mean, people have stuff out there. They just don't know it. I was going to get at how you coordinate, say, with the National Archives. I interviewed a fellow from the National Archives not too long ago. I mean, where do you... I noticed one of your organizations listed here would be the government, National Park Service, Forest Service. Would you conflict with the work of the National Archives, or do you enhance it?
You know, we've got a unique situation here in Alaska that we probably have more joint programs that are a combination of state and federal agencies working together than most states have. And we're working on some unique relationships with National Archives on, you know, both their feelings and ours are that it, if at all possible, it makes more sense to have all of the records in a single location versus splitting them up to multiple locations when possible. So we have things like the Joint Pipeline Office, the Exxon Valdez Trustee Council records, the there's several others that we're working very closely with NARA, which is National Archives, on. You know, we were talking earlier about the railroad records, and we recently, we're currently finalizing a deal with the National Archives, even though the records from territorial days for the railroad transferred to the state, we're working very closely with the National Archives to maintain those collections in Anchorage where they're needed for research. They don't do much good down here in Juneau at the state archives. So we're working very closely with them, both for collections type of issues and also on training. We're having meetings on an ongoing basis with the training person from the National Archives in Anchorage on some future joint training coming out from both of our agencies.
Mm. So I was going to ask you, the question went right out of my head. Duh. So you work, you're actually enhancing the work of other agencies that are sort of in the same ballpark, so to speak. But Francis, you mentioned earlier that the plan is to help entities preserve their collection of archives. You're not trying to take anybody's collection away from them. You are offering help in preserving the archives that people have already collected. But what about costs? You mentioned like temperature control. I know some things have to be kept out of bright light, or they don't like it in museums if you take photos. I mean, these things cost a lot of money. Say if you located an organization that had valuable archives in a musty closet somewhere that needed special devices. I mean, how would that organization, who is most nonprofits are pretty financially strapped, how would those organizations go about implementing a plan without any cash?
Well, there's a lot of opportunities for grants. Especially right now, you know, people are recognizing that we do need to start putting money in towards preserving these collections and archives. And so there are grant opportunities. And if we were to assess a situation and we say, you know, this really needs more help than just what we can do in-house, we would direct them towards which grants would be appropriate and how to go about that. And I don't know, not knowing how much money we're going to have in the future, I don't know if that's something that we're going to be able to offer or not. But we'll definitely be able to assist organizations in finding them.
Right. And now there are other organizations that do similar work. And I want to make sure that you are not duplicating like the work of like AMIPA, the Alaska Moving Image Preservation Association, and they collect, I think, news clips, pretty much political and media, media. I guess all television and newsreel clips and that kind of thing from the state's history. And do you work together with them, or are you just totally separate?
We refer people to other agencies such as AMIPA. When we think, you know, that it's relevant for the type of collections. We're not into this to come up with a whole bunch of new collections for the state. We would rather see them get to an area to, you know, if somebody didn't feel like could take proper care of them and did want to donate them, to get them to as regional of a place as possible where they would have more relevance than moving them down to Juneau or someplace. You know, if it may be that the best place would be Anchorage or Fairbanks, but it, you know, there may be something else too. So we're trying to work with people to identify what collections would fit in the best with other collections at other agencies if they decide that they want to donate them.
Right. I was just sort of thinking, and this sort of popped into my head the last few minutes. How about, we're looking sort of backwards at the past and past collections of archives, and we spoke about photos, but these days people put photos on, it's digital photos, they're on CDs, they're not on paper, they're on plastic, they're in computers somewhere. Is there any part of your program looking a bit forward to different types of collections? I mean, look at the Palin-Letterman debate, so to speak. I mean, I'm serious. This stuff, you know, is historical at some point, or is this beyond the scope of what you are doing?
No, digital archives and digital collections are still considered archives. And if you were to look at our survey too, you'd see that we do ask about online collections, digital collections, ones stored on CD-ROMs. So those are definitely ones that we recognize too as archival collections, and we're willing to give help with.
Right. And what about other entities? I know that the University of Alaska Fairbanks has a pretty fantastic collection of historical photos. Do you refer to them for help, or do they help you at all? Is there any kind of connection there?
Kind of both, actually. Mm-hmm. Some of them are actually taking our training in a couple of weeks up in Fairbanks. So, but it's definitely a two-way street. It's nice. Some of these larger organizations, we can help each other. So that is really nice.
Plus, we also are in. We're sharing a tool with them and a few other places. To put the Alaska Digital Archives out as much as possible with the photographs from collections that each of the different repositories have into a single place.
And how does the public, you mentioned, Glenn, that there would be, of course, a database of where all these collections are housed. Does that mean that these collections would be available to the public at any point, or that's, again, a privacy issue? Would the viewing of some of these archives be up to the entities that own them completely?
It would. We can't, we don't want somebody not to come forward because they need help preserving their collections just because they aren't going to make them open to the public because, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, relatives may decide when the people are no longer here, decide that they really do have historical value and want to donate them somewhere. And they wouldn't be available if they weren't preserved. So we do hope to put together a database that would be public for people who agree to have their collections known, but not necessarily 100% of the people in the database that we create now off of the responses from the website.
How about paintings? Actually, Alaska had some fairly renowned artists come through. I'm sure there's a Eustace Ziegler out there moldering away in somebody's shed. Has anyone come forward with anything like that? Something like really, really astonishing?
Not like that we know of at this point. And basically, if that were to happen, we would refer them to the objects conservators at the State Museum, who have a fantastic internship program that they work with to bring in conservators that are just graduating with their degrees, master's degrees in conservation, and they work through a variety of different types of conservators. So it could be metal conservators, it could be paintings, it could be objects, but they working to place people out for periods of time out in the communities to work with those kinds of collections.
Mm-hmm. I was going to pause for one moment and remind our listeners that Community Forum is a call-in program. If you have questions or comments about the Archive Rescue Corps, call 550-8433, 550-8433. Or outside of Anchorage, 1-888-353-5752, 1-888-353-5752, or you can email us at communityforum@kska.org. And remember that Community Forum is rebroadcast at 10 o'clock tonight, but don't call then because there will be no one here to answer your phones. So I wanted to get at the 50th anniversary connection. Is this something that was hatched because of the state's venerable 50th anniversary?
Well, it was just kind of the way that it worked out, actually. When these grants were made available, we knew that the 50th was coming up, so we did write that in our grant that we recognized with the 50th anniversary of our state that this would be a significant time to do this. So it has worked out pretty nicely for that. So we've been able to use that as a pitch, but it was actually purely a coincidence.
Uh-huh. Well, Alaska is now getting on in years. We are getting old enough to have a history. And it's funny, like I was mentioning earlier, when, you know, standing on the street in Cordova in 1989, you didn't have time to think that this is history. And looking back, and I think a lot of people maybe don't go through their collections as much as they should. I know my good friend Dolores came up one year and she was horrified that I had all my photos for the last 2 decades in boxes. And she says, you got to put them in books. And I says, well, someday I'll get the time, but I haven't had the time. Let's go to the phones. We have a call coming in from Fran on line 7. Hi, Fran.
Hello.
How are you there?
I'm quite accidentally listening to your program, and I've been hoping for several years to find anybody who would want 35-millimeter slides. My husband has a collection of the earthquake down here, and I have wildflowers from McKinley and Katmai.
What do you mean, wildflowers? Pictures?
I made a collection for the herbarium, and I have 35-millimeter slides.
Oh.
Pictures of the flowers. And these I did in the early 60s.
Glenn, Francis?
Well, what I would suggest is this something that you're wanting to donate these to an organization? Did I hear you correctly?
Yes, I'm at the point where I'm trying to find happy homes for some of the things I have that I don't want them to be destroyed. I think they should have some value for somebody, and I haven't found anybody yet.
Definitely. Well, what I would suggest is that we make contact with you off air at another time, and I'd be happy to line you up with some organizations that might be interested in looking at these collections and seeing if it's something they would like to bring into their collection.
Okay.
And I don't know if you'll be able to access the website through the radio station or if
no,
I should just
I don't have my service.
Well,
all.
Can I just give my telephone number over the air here?
Sure, go for it.
Okay. You can contact me off air at 907-465-1310. 1310. And I'm usually in the office in the mornings, and so that's usually a good time to contact me.
And your name?
My name is Frances.
You're a Frances also. Okay.
Yes, I am.
Well, I will... this is weekdays, I presume, Monday through Friday?
Yes, it is.
You're there?
Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I look forward to your call.
All right.
Okay, Fran, thank you for calling Community Forum. Well, I have only a couple more things on my mind, and I would like to give both Glenn and Francis a little more time to talk about their organization, Archive Rescue Corps, which is a fairly new state organization, state agency, which is out scouring the state for archives, photos, collections of documents of historical significance. They just want to identify them and make sure they know where they are and talk to the people who own them about keeping them safe and in good condition. So what more can we say about archives? I'm sure that there's things we haven't talked about yet. Frances, any ideas?
Well, you know, I really like to say again what Glenn has said, and that, you know, an archive the significance of an archive, it really just depends on the person and the value. I mean, I look at all my stuff, and I don't want anyone to come in and look at my stuff right now, because I would be quite embarrassed, actually, to admit how I'm keeping all my archival collections. It's quite horrific, actually. But I know that someday those are going to be important to my daughter and my grandchildren, and where, you know, somebody else here might not consider it. I grew up on a commercial fishing boat in Alaska. I was born and raised here, and I have tons of pictures of fishing boats all throughout Southeast Alaska, and documenting my life on a fishing boat. And where that's important to me right now, it might not be important to someone, but it would be important to someone in the future. And I think all Alaskans have that unique collection, whether it's in their own home or whether it's in their business or their nonprofit organization, even city municipalities. And I just think it's really important to make sure that they're taking care of them today, and so that they'll be around for years to come in the future, and that they have a plan for them. And we're very willing to help with that.
Glenn, any last thoughts?
Yeah, I'd just like to throw something out there that just kind of a fun project for people to think about. We did it with my parents starting a few years ago as they were getting up into their upper 80s. And we started having both of my parents write time periods, their reminiscence of what their life was like at certain periods of their time. And then we would take either documents or photographs from the family collection relevant to those and started doing chapters for a book. And it's a way to really get a better feel for what kind of collections you do have, and also to kind of pull it together. And it was a really good project for my parents to get them thinking and, you know, active and reminiscing and a whole lot of things. And we ended up having them document a lot of things that we hadn't even thought of, you know. And that's all archival material, whether it's their actual published item that, or, you know, that they did just for our family, or whether it's the photographs and documents that we put in along with that to help document what they were saying. So, you know, there's a lot of things we can do to that do have historical value, and maybe right now they only have that value to our families, but, you know, someday it may have way beyond that.
Well, go ahead, Frances, sorry.
Oh, and I would just like to say, you know, in doing that project that Glenn just suggested, it gets you to go look at your collections. And I highly suggest, you know, when you get done listening to this, go look at your collections. You may think that they're okay sitting in that box where they're sitting, or sitting in that trunk where they're sitting, but just take a look at them and make sure that they are. Make sure that, you know, they haven't gotten wet, or there's not mold growing on them, because even I've surprised myself thinking I was doing the right thing. And I've opened up a trunk before and found about 300 photographs ruined.
Oh.
And I've got a master's degree in this.
Oh.
And I just, you know, I should have known better, but I put them in there for what I just thought was a temporary storage, left them in there for 2 years, and they were ruined.
Oh.
Letters, photographs, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And so I urge everyone just to go take a look and see what condition they're in, and see if you do think you are doing the right thing.
Okay, we're running short on time. Thanks to our guests, Frances Field and Glenn Cook, and they are with the Archives Rescue Corps. For more information on the ARC, go to kska.org. Find out how to volunteer. I'm Ellen Lockyer. Thank you for listening to Community Forum. We'll be seeing you next week.
Community Forum is a production of KSKA's News and Public Affairs Department. Opinions expressed are those of the guest, host, and callers, and do not represent the views of KSKA, the licensee, or the underwriters. You can subscribe to free podcasts of Community Forum on our website at kska.org, where you can also find links to additional information on today's topic, including all the websites mentioned on today's show. If you have questions or comments concerning this program, write to us at 3877 University University Drive, Anchorage, Alaska, 99508, or email communityforum@ksaa.org. CD copies can be purchased by calling 550-8400 during regular business hours. This is KSKA, Anchorage.